And to have the mayor of Salt Lake City looking as if he is coordinating, facilitating, and promoting this protest, it troubles me, Rocky.
Well, I don't know what to say about that, except that there are a lot of people, in fact, I think the majority of people in this country now, given the dismal polls in terms of approval ratings for our president, which are in the low 40s and even in, down in the 20s, as to Social Security, things are going in the wrong direction in this country. And those who say, well, when the president comes, you shouldn't speak up, I don't understand that. That is exactly the time when people's voices are going to be heard. They're being heard nationally now. There's national attention being focused on Salt Lake City. And it's not just about the war, Doug. This is about an absolutely devastating, reckless fiscal policy by a president who would hold himself out as being a fiscal conservative. He inherited a massive surplus from President Clinton, and they frittered that away, given huge tax cuts to their wealthy buddies, spent billions of dollars for companies like Halliburton, who have been ripping off the government for years, and then cutting programs. I'm a mayor of a city, Doug, where we're seeing a proposal by our president after more than 30 years of successful community development block grant programs, helping low-income people in our community, helping nonprofits who are doing such a great job. He wants to obliterate it. We're going to see a $500,000 cut next year in that program. We have 120 fewer families in Salt Lake City who are going to qualify for Section 8 housing vouchers. That means they don't get affordable housing in our community because of this administration's total misprioritization of our nation's resources. And then our police, they are destroying the community-oriented police program by depriving cities of the funding that we've received for so many years, cuts in our local law enforcement grant programs. And then on the side of the environment, going it alone, as we did with this war, now we're going alone in terms of a complete absence of any policy to combat climate change, to improve the quality of our air and our water. This president has been a disaster in almost every area, and people are finally figuring it out. And those who say that we're not supporting our troops because we're speaking out have it absolutely wrong.
Yeah, and I never said that, Rocky. I believe that people can protest a war, can protest an action, and still be very supportive of the troops, and still be very supportive of the country in general.
Yeah.
Now, we can go back and we can argue all kinds of things with George Bush. I'm reading a book called An Unfinished Life, which is wonderful, on President Kennedy. And many of the same attitudes about tax cuts, you know, were adopted by President Kennedy. And guess who fought him the most? Albert Gore, people like that. So, I mean, we can go through that. We can talk about Secretary Leavitt and then Administrator Leavitt talking about how our air and water is cleaner today in an interview that I had with him before he became the Secretary of Health and Human Services than it was even just 4 years ago. But, you know, we can go the rounds on that. And, Rocky, you and I are just going to disagree on a few of those things.
Right.
But as far as the mayor of our capital city,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I've supported you. I'm a friend of yours, and I will be a friend of yours after this conversation. And, you know, we've disagreed on a lot of stuff,
right.
But, you know, I've appreciated many of the things you've done for Salt Lake City. Is it appropriate for a person who is not only the mayor of Salt Lake City, but the mayor of the capital city of Utah, and arguably even the capital of the Intermountain West, to make this kind of a statement where so many of us, myself included, feel that, and I know you're saying that you're doing it as a private citizen.
No, I'm not.
But, well, okay, all right, because I had heard that.
No,
and
I'm not doing this as a private citizen.
But for the mayor to step up, and again, I don't want to boil things down to economics, but boy, and I'm sure you've read the editorial in the Deseret News this morning.
No, I haven't, actually.
Ooh, you're not going to want to read it. But the idea that we work so hard to have these conventions come, the fact that they are such a major part, and then, you know, the economic, and then when they invite their keynote speaker to come here, that the mayor of Salt Lake City is the prime mover behind a prime mover. I want to be absolutely accurate here. A prime mover in what is supposed to be and hoped to be by you and others a massive protest against their keynote speaker.
Doug, this has nothing to do with the veterans of Foreign Wars Convention. I just got through speaking to them. I was received very warmly in my comments, and what I pointed out, among other things, is that we, regardless of our differences with our political leaders, all need to be very grateful and supportive of our troops. And at the same time, we have the Commander-in-Chief coming here today to speak to the veterans of foreign wars. How is he going to explain to them, if he even dares broach the issue, his proposed cuts of hundreds of millions of dollars in benefits for our veterans? How is he going to explain to them that our young people were sent over to fight a war without adequate supplies and equipment? These are the kinds of things that not only do I have the right as an individual to speak out about these things, I have an absolute duty as a leader to speak out. All of us do. You do. The media does.
Well, to organize a protest, I think, is what's true. To speak out, you're right. Political leaders speak out all the time. And individual citizens speak out all the time. I speak out all the time. You speak out all the time. And we end up shaking hands afterwards.
Yeah.
But to organize a protest, send out email, hoping that it will show, and it didn't even show the president the respect. It's just let Bush and let, the Bush administration know and the world. And I don't know. It just troubles me to see you as a protest organizer rather than a public official who represents me speaking his mind and representing the city.
Well, I'm urging people to get out and speak about all of these issues, to let their voices be heard, because I think this... And we've heard President Bush say that he never watches television news and he very seldom reads anything in the newspaper except for maybe scanning the headlines on the front page. There's got to be a way to get through to our president, to his administration, that the people in this country don't like the direction in which we're headed. And, Doug, I think it's an absolute abrogation of anybody's responsibility as a leader not to urge people to speak up on these issues. I think we should do it respectfully, and I think we should do it in an informed way. But that being said, I think for people to remain quiet is probably what brought us to this point in the first place. We had a president who didn't tell us the truth about the rationale for going into Iraq. He put our servicemen and servicewomen in harm's way, telling the people of this country that he had intelligence about weapons of mass destruction, when in fact the intelligence was just the opposite. And he pulled one on us. And it was pretty clear even before we sent troops over that, for instance, the claim that Saddam Hussein was trying to buy nuclear materials from Niger, that was based on forged documents, and our president knew about it. We know that.
What about the, and some of those things that we just state so definitively aren't as definitive as they're being made sound here. What about the fact that Vladimir Putin warned us? This is a guy that didn't want us to go into Iraq. They are one of the largest trading partners of Iraq. They had so much to lose if those economic and trading ties were cut. Vladimir Putin is the one that warned President Bush and our military and our intelligence that, yes, not only was he a danger to himself, to people in the region, and to his own people, but he also was planning terrorist attacks against our country. That was Vladimir Putin.
Well, that goes along the same lines as our president trying to make the people of this country think that Iraq was behind the 9/11 attacks. Do you know...
See, I never heard him say that, Rocky.
You're out. Oh, absolutely. And our vice president was told the VFW 2 or 3 years ago that there were ties between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein.
Well, certainly people were there that trained, and there were also the $25,000 reward for martyrs of Islam who would go in and murder others and kill themselves. I mean, we knew that. We know that he's used mass destruction on his own people, the Kurds.
Saddam Hussein and the al-Qaeda leaders were mortal enemies. There was no connection between them. And you know what's really, it just saddens me so much, especially in terms of how complacent and I think complicit the media has been over the years, is that they could have found out this information. They could have conveyed it to the American people. A year after 9/11, Doug, over 75% of the American people thought that Iraq was behind the 9/11 bomb attacks on this country.
See, that never even occurred to me. It was never anything we ever even discussed on this program.
Polls now show that 35% of people still think that Iraq was behind those terrorist attacks. What we ended up doing was diverting our efforts against al-Qaeda and bin Laden, and we made war against Iraq with these kinds of representations from the administration that were absolutely deceitful.
But, you know, everybody, all 17 members of the Security Council, even including Syria, voted for the things that were going on in the UN. When everything boils away, Rocky, when everything boils away, the only difference that there was out there between the Bush administration and some of their opponents at that time, and now everybody has such crystal clear clarity 4.5 years down the road, or 4 years, almost 4 years down the road. But at the time, the only difference was, should we act now, or should we wait for one more resolution, or should we wait for one more inspection? Should we try to get people back on the ground one more time? That was the only difference. And now we have all of these, you know, prophets with the clarity of 4 years.
Well, you can say that, but I came out and I was saying the same thing at the time. Doug, I saw the article, one small article in the Washington Post before we ever invaded Iraq, where it was disclosed that the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency had determined that the documents upon which President Bush's claim that Saddam Hussein was seeking to buy nuclear materials from Niger were forgeries. And that's never been contested since then, but you know what? It didn't show up anywhere else in the media. As the Deseret News, did they ever report on that until after hostilities were declared to be over by President Bush, at least the initial major hostilities? Which is amazing looking back on it, that he was ever able to declare that, given what's happened since.
What do we do when you have someone who is convicted in the world court? He is a known mass murderer. Nobody disputes that. Known mass murderer.
Absolutely.
He is known to promote terrorism.
And you know what?
And then he is cornered by world opinion. He is cornered by the 17 members of the Security Council. He is cornered by the United Nations. He's cornered by the Russians. He's cornered by the British. He's cornered by the French. He's cornered by the Germans. He's cornered by the Australians. All of us. And we say, Mr. Saddam Hussein, we know your track record. You are a convicted murderer. You are a person of mass destruction. You have had weapons of mass destruction. You bristle. You are denying, but you bristle like you have weapons of mass destruction. What would one of your police officers do with someone with that kind of record in a dark alley and it looked like they were reaching for a gun?
The reaching for a gun was a total fiction, Doug. And, you know, when he was actually using chemical weapons against the Kurds, we sat back and called him our ally, and we were providing him material and financial aid.
Well, see, we've talked about this before. He was our SOB at that time, and with the situation with Iran, I think
exactly
most...
exactly right. So,
yeah.
So we supported him. How much did we care about the Kurds and the Iranians that were being...
Well, there were some outcries at that time, particularly on the Kurds. I mean, it was a tough situation. I mean, when you had both sides strapping their young men together with twine bindings and walking them through minefields, we're not talking about good guys on either side. There's no doubt about that, Rocky.
Doc? But the use of chemical weapons, there was a congressional resolution proposed at the time condemning Saddam Hussein for the use of chemical weapons. That fell because the President of the United States opposed it. He didn't want that, even just a resolution at the time. So it is such utter gross hypocrisy to say that now that there aren't any weapons of mass destruction, it was right to invade, when, in fact, Saddam Hussein had previously used weapons of mass destruction against his own people, and we sat idly by and called him our ally.
Well, you know, the thing that kills me, too, when you read President Clinton's book, it's consistent through President Clinton's book that Saddam Hussein was the continual thorn in his side. He was the defocusing factor. He was the image. In his book, he said, I had to act against this madman.
Yeah.
I had to act because, and even though it appeared that I was wagging the dog, even though I knew I'd be criticized for trying to defocus the Monica Lewinsky stuff, I would directly be accused of wagging the dog. I had to do it because he was such a clear threat. Rocky, I want to give you the last word. I've literally got 1 minute, and okay. I want to make sure you get the last word.
Am I glad Saddam Hussein's been taken out? Absolutely. Do I think that Iraq is in better shape now than before we invaded? Absolutely not. Do I think that we're safer now because of what our president did unilaterally rather than through the United Nations, rather than waiting for the weapons inspectors to do their job? I think it was a massive mistake, and he needs to be held accountable. But there is so much else that's going wrong in this country. A total disregard, a disdain for working men and women from this administration. Reckless fiscal policies that are building up debt that our children are going to have to pay for. We all have a responsibility, Doug, however we do it. Whether it's showing up at a demonstration, whether it's when we go to the voting booth, to exercise our own intelligence, to learn about what's going on, and get out and raise our voices when we see things going so wrong in our country. That's true patriotism. Thomas Paine was a great patriot.
Rocky, I appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, Doug. I
appreciate our friendship, and though I won't be joining you at the protest, maybe we can join each other for lunch one of these
days. Love to talk to you further. Thank you, Doug.
Mayor Rocky Anderson with us here at KSL News Radio 1160.